This is the sermon podcast of Jim Parsons, the senior pastor at Milford Hills United Methodist Church. For more information about our congregation, visit us at milfordhillsumc.org. Thank you for listening, and peace be with you.
It comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. So hear now the word of God. Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though they are many. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one Spirit to drink. Certainly the body isn't one part, but many. If the foot says, "I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the ear says, "I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye," does that mean it's not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, what would happen to the hearing? If the whole body was an ear, what would happen to the sense of smell? But as it is, God has placed each one of the parts in the body just like he wanted. If all were one and the same body parts, what would happen to the body? But as it is, there are many parts, but one body. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word. And as we think on these things, open our hearts and minds to hear your word for us today. In your name we pray. Amen. When I first arrived here at Milford Hills 5.5 years ago, I was told over and over again that if there is a cause, a situation that needed attention, the people of Milford Hills United Methodist Church would show up and offer help. When I heard people tell me that, verbally I said, "That's wonderful." Internally and silent and hopefully not showing anything on my face, I was thinking to myself, "Well, that's what all congregations say. We'll see about that." I thought it was kind of like those congregations who say, "Oh, we're friendly," but in reality, they're just friendly to each other, not the newcomer. But in my 5.5 years as your pastor, I have learned that this is not just a throwaway comment. This is not just a simple, humble brag. It is reality. If there is a need, if someone needs help, if there is, we need to rally around a cause, our congregation comes and makes a difference. I've seen this as we've raised money to help someone with surgery, help a family out who needed an accessible vehicle, to feed the ICU or the emergency department for a year during COVID, to shower the faculty and the staff at Eisenberg Elementary School right down the street with snacks and breakfast as they were going through a hard time during an administrative change. It doesn't even have to be something as big as that, though. You all showed up in generous ways during the fifth Sunday offerings, which go to different missions and ministries, by offering over $7,000 in 2023. The special offerings that the United Methodist Church asked us to give to, you all gave over $3,000 to all of that. The noisy offering where the kids collect change, over $1,700 came in 2023. And when Maui had the horrible fires, you all gave over $2,500. You all show up when you're asked. But it's not just about money, though, either. You all show up in person. The Cheergivers Ministry is a huge blessing to our shut-ins, our homebound, and to all those in living in facilities that make it impossible to be present with us each and every week. This group visits members and others and every other week, every other Thursday. And it's not just the joy they bring to those they visit. They bring back joy as well, as they smile and talk about how God is present in their visits. What this does is it reminds those members and people in our community that they are still part of this congregation. We love and we care for them still. We show the same thing when a family is saying goodbye to a loved one or is going through an illness or disease. A few weeks ago, Larry Wagner, a longtime member and avid member of our choir, celebrated his 80th birthday. Due to his health, he is in hospice care at Trinity Oaks. and choir members went to go see him on his birthday. They sang happy birthday to him, but then they also joined together and sang some hymns with him as well. This week, I showed his family how to access the virtual choir videos that we made during COVID and the kind of the playlist we have of those so that he can enjoy listening to them and stay connected to the people that he loves in this church. Larry was very touched by that visit, and I have a feeling the choir members who went for that visit also were touched. We are touched when we show up because we are doing what God desires us to do, because God calls us to be we. Bishop Jake Owensby talks about being our true and authentic selves in this part of his book, Looking for God in Messy Places. He talks about his relationship with his wife and how in that relationship there's a him and a her, but also a we. He writes this: "It is the very idea, the living reality, that I am part of a we that makes my life worth living. Hope rests in part upon a sense of belonging." He goes on to quote Philip Newell, who wrote, "We come closest to our true selves when we pour ourselves out in love for one another, when we give our heart and thus the whole of our being." The idea of being part of something bigger, to become a we, seems very countercultural though, because in our 21st century American culture, when we think about being our authentic selves, we usually refer to I, not we. Owensby was a philosophy major in college, and he says that this individualistic mindset is baked into our culture. It comes out of existentialism, which for them says there's no authentic we, but only I. He quotes David Brooks, who is a writer and a media commentator, who writes this: "The autonomous individual is the fundamental unit of society. A community is a collection of individuals who are making their own choices about how to live." As we look at how people interact on social media, it's about amplifying the individual. All of a sudden, over the last decade and a half, we have told people that their voice, their individuality, is what the world wants to see and what is most important. There are strategies of how to turn your social media presence into a full-blown source of influence and a very good income. Influencers can make anywhere between $200 to $2,000 per post, depending on how many followers they have. It is something people in a younger generation seek to become, but also boils down to that individual. God, on the other hand, calls us to be an authentic we. God calls us to be in relationship with one another because that is what God's creation was created for. We aren't designed to be on an island. We are created to be in relationship with God and with one another. As Owensby writes, "So despite the individualistic emphasis on our culture, the truth is that God created us to be an authentic we." So what does that look like? For that, we go to Paul's writings in 1 Corinthians. Paul uses this wonderful and almost perfect illustration of what it means to be that God-desired authentic we, the body of Christ. As he writes, "Christ is just like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all the parts of the body are one body, even though there are many. We are all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free, and we all were given one spirit to drink. Certainly, the body isn't one part, but many." We are all individuals, but we are called to be part of the body of Christ. God doesn't take away our individualism and what makes us special and unique. On the contrary, God wants us to use those specific gifts to work together with others as the body of Christ in this world. I mean, take for a moment and just realize what we say during the communion liturgy, which we'll have next week. After we profess what we believe, I bless the elements, and this is what I say every time: "By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world." We are to be made into one, an authentic we in Christ with each other so that we can be in ministry to the entire world. If we do not share God's love and grace with the world alone, we need each other. We need to come together and worship and let God's grace fill up our cup and overflow so that what overflows we can share with others as we go throughout the week. The barbecue this year went extremely well. It's amazing to watch this 60-year-old well-oiled machine run. I attempted to help out, but I realized I just kind of get in the way a lot of times, and so I just kind of step back and watch. This can't happen with just individuals. Rob the Pitmaster Beecham cannot do it all on his own. And by the way, I think we need to give Rob a hearty round of applause for all of his hard work this past couple weeks. However, like he said earlier, the takeout section cannot run by one person alone, cannot cook all those cakes or even cut them by just one person. Same thing with making the slaw or the sauce or packing the bread. It just doesn't happen by one person. I witnessed the body of Christ this week, and it's amazing to watch. And I think we need to give thanks. And also another round of applause for everyone who came out to help with this year's barbecue and make it the success it was. We need each other. We need to be part of that authentic we that God is calling us to be, because when we do, we can do a lot, even change the world. When we live out God's love, the world changes. Owensby tells a story of a friend of his he called Ira, and she came up to him and said something like this: "You Christians are lucky. You believe that you will live forever, so you don't have to worry about being forgotten. I don't believe in an afterlife, so I have accomplished something in this life. I have to accomplish something in this life, or no one is going to remember me. My life won't have mattered. I might as well have never existed." My heart broke a little bit when I read that, because everyone's life matters, and no one should feel like they are ever that they should never have existed. I truly think it's hard for those who are not part of a church community to realize what you get out of a relationship with each other. You do truly matter when you are part of the body of Christ. I've been offered a chance to do some funerals for some people who have not been with a church family or do not have a pastor. And I was honored to be invited into those spaces at that moment. But I look around, and those who are grieving, they don't have the same support that I see when a church member dies. For them, we might meet at the graveside and hold a funeral there, or we might meet in the chapel of a funeral home. And there's the family, but a family's issues, they're only amplified during a funeral. So sometimes there's a massive amount of support, and other times there's a massive amount of tension. But when we're done, the family gets into their car, and then they either go home or to a restaurant to eat. It's a little different than when a church member passes away. When that happens, we send out a prayer request for people to pray for that family. We give them space to gather, to greet friends and mourn. We offer up worship and announce that God's presence is with them as they walk on this holy ground. And then we are happy to feed them and give them space to be their family, all the while checking in, praying for them, and supporting them. That support goes beyond just that simply the day of the funeral too. And it proves that they truly matter. And what a gift that is. It gives those who are mourning a deep sense of love and of hope. But that's what love does. It gives us hope. In his book, Owensby tells a story of when he picked up Heather Morris's novel, The Tattooists of Auschwitz. He thought it was going to be a specific book filled with unspeakable cruelty and debilitating misery. But instead, what he found was a tale of Lael Sokolov, the chief tattooist at Auschwitz. It's a true story about how love makes life worth living even in the midst of a Nazi death camp. Lael knew many different languages, and so when in 1942, when he was taken and shipped off to Auschwitz, he became an asset to the Nazis' admission process. He was put in charge of tattooing the arms of men and women who were going to work in that camp and not go directly into the gas chambers. Tattooing a serial number on someone so they can be worked to death is truly hard. But he said when he had to do that for women, it nearly broke him. Owensby tells a story like this. One day, Lael looked into the eyes of a young woman as he held her arm, and he fell in love with her. He eventually learned that her name was Gita, and where she stayed on the camp. He would sneak the extra rations that he was giving because he was so important in the process, and they would give the extra rations to her or to her blockmates or to other prisoners who were in need, who needed it the most. His love took him to broke rules, to walk a line that could send him immediately to torture or death. But love called him to offer something different. When the Soviet army liberated Auschwitz, Lael and Gita were separated. And when things started to settle, Lael set out to find her. And as he was driving a horse and cart through millions of liberated survivors, he was navigating this road that was next to a Red Cross that was serving refugees when a woman stepped in front of his cart. It was Gita. He was looking for her, but she found him. Eventually, those two were married and moved to Australia, where they had one son. The hope they found in loving one another is truly inspiring. Holmes writes that this is about this of those who lived in those hellish camps. With each breath they took, those who loved their starving, ragged, weary neighbors did more than merely survived. They participated in God's own life. The Romans text that June read pushes us to take Jesus' message about loving our neighbor and making it a reality. Verse 20 states this: "Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, you will pile burning coals of fire upon its head. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good." We are called to be a community who reaches out in love to everyone. The neighbors we love to hang out and invite to the barbecue, and the other ones that we can't stand. Those neighbors who we might even call our enemies. We are called to give them the basics of life, food and drink. The only way we're going to change the world is if we do it the way that Jesus commands, to love them. So whether we're changing the world through by showing love in a concentration camp, to a family in need in our own town, or even what we do for Zoe and Powers by helping 96 children halfway a world away, we are participating in the authentic we. We are being the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. We are being one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Doing so is a way we participate in hope by living out God's love, even in the messiest of places. And all of God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you that even in the midst of mess or hell on earth, you are with us, and you call us together as the body of Christ. Help us to see the benefits of coming together and how we truly can change the world through your love and offering hope to a world in such a desperate need. Lord, mold us into your likeness and give us the courage and ability to follow you today and every day. In your name we pray. Amen.